if the first show was called Saturday Tee Off, does that make this the back nine?
I can be down with that, Jesse. I like it.
Jesse Nelson, Adam Mertz, we're calling it ESPN Madison Saturday, and it's a special presentation as we are live from the grand opening of the Bogey Factory in Verona. Brand new indoor golf simulator spot here in Verona. It's fantastic, and the people are packing in, Mertzy, here on a beautiful Masters Saturday. There's five bays with state-of-the-art simulators, all the technology that's just the best of the best. When you know that you're building a brand-new golf simulator spot right now, especially here in Verona, you know you want it to be top tier, and that's exactly what they've done here at the Bogey Factory.
Yeah, and like, you know, the energy of the opening day, you can feel it in here. There's a lot of anticipation, a lot of excitement, a lot of curiosity, people poking their heads around each of these bays and checking them out. I know we're excited to see some of the action here later, too. Tuck our heads in.
Yeah, this is going to be so much fun. 2 hours with you until 2 o'clock this afternoon at the Bogey Factory in Verona. Great staff here, great food. Can't wait for us to get some
sandwiches.
Some nourishment coming up here. Yes, sandwiches. I love that that's on the way. This is all the stuff that you want from a beautiful new golf spot here in Verona. It's amazing. I know it's beautiful outside today, about the best weather you could ask for a fall or a spring Saturday afternoon. Fall Saturday afternoon. Spring Saturday afternoon.
Makes me think of football already.
It does feel like a football Saturday, kind of, but for a spring Saturday, this is amazing. And you can come on over here to the Bogey Factory. It doesn't matter. Rain, shine, snow, all year round, this is going to be your new spot to golf indoors in the Madison area. We're so excited to tell you more about it as our show continues today. We have a lot to talk about, Mertzy, with you till 2 o'clock this afternoon here on 100.5. ESPN. My name's Jesse Nelson. He's Adam Mertz. 844-770-3776 is the ESPN Wisconsin Talk and Text line for you to join the conversation with us. 844-770-3776. By the way, Alex Gravatt, our producer, back in the Everlight Solar Studios downtown at ESPN Madison with us this morning as well. So, Mertzy, let's start with what I think is the biggest breaking news of the morning, which is Connor Assijian announcing on social media that he is transferring to Maryland. Maryland, who finished in the bottom two in the Big Ten this year. Maryland, who will play Wisconsin each of the next few years, so he'll get a chance for some revenge games, whether it's at the Kohl Center or out at in College Park in Big Ten play. But as someone who is part of ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day and follows the Badgers closely, as you do, what do you make of Connor Assijian's decision to join the Maryland Terrapins?
Well, you know, this was so highly anticipated about where he was going to land. I haven't seen someone who's had that much attention on him for a while. Program, definitely a fan favorite his freshman year, just wasn't able to follow up this year for a variety of reasons. I know that, you know, the injury was trotted out, but he really just did not fit into the rotation anymore. So I figured that he was going to end up somewhere not as good, you know, like, frankly, and was waiting to see. I thought maybe there might be something closer to home that would appeal to him. To stay in the Big Ten and to go to a different program like that catches me off guard a little bit. I mean, it is. I feel like that is a very fresh start in a lot of ways. It's a very un-Wisconsin program, so good for him for that. I feel like he did handle his situation like with ultimate class this year.
Yeah, so I didn't have a problem.
I don't think anyone has a problem with how it went down. Would you rather see a guy like that go some other league? So just in case he does not burn you, yes. So, absolutely.
And that's my question about this entire situation. So Connor Assijian will get a couple of chances for revenge against the Badgers. Now, when Aaron Rodgers goes to the New York Jets, when Corbin Burns goes to the Baltimore Orioles and is scheduled to start against the Brewers tomorrow at Camden Yards, we'll talk with Jeff Levering from the Bally Sports Wisconsin and the Brewers Radio Network coming up at 1 o'clock here from the Bogey Factory. Jesse Nelson, Adam Mertz, ESPN Madison Saturday. You get these revenge games that add some drama during the regular seasons that feel like it's got a little bit extra. Like the Orioles moved the rotation around so that Corbin Burns would get to start on Sunday against his former team that he wants to stick it to because they took him to arbitration over a couple of pennies in baseball terms. So when you get Connor Assijian, will have an opportunity for revenge games against the Badgers in the future. Are you excited for that as a Badgers fan, or are you more thinking, I would have rather gone to Marshall or Western Kentucky or, I mean, even a good school. Yeah, Oklahoma State, somebody that outside of the NCAA tournament, Wisconsin wouldn't see, so you can cheer on the success for him elsewhere.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's what the equation is, right, of whether you can feel good about supporting him going some other school. I think back to guys in football that have gone to different conferences, and you're like, hey, great, good for you. Going way back, Aaron Stucker that left after Ron Dayne came in, Wisconsin kid, and went down to Western Illinois. Everyone's like, hey, let's root this guy on. Ends up in the NFL. Awesome. Everybody plays, everybody wins. Maryland is not like going to Minnesota, though, and it's not like going to an Iowa, like a Sam Oakey kind of thing, where, you know, it almost feels like it was intentional to try to drive a little bit of a rivalry there. To me, that must just be like the opportunity for him, so, the best opportunity on the table.
And I do want to clarify, I guess I don't know why he would do this without being committed. Like, his tweet this morning, Terp Nation, what we thinking,
odd.
Hashtag not committed.
It's very odd.
But, like, you're not going to do that if you're not going to go to Maryland, right? Like, perhaps we're having this conversation and we're ultimately going to be surprised because he ends up going somewhere totally different. But to be photoshopped in the jersey, to be doing the pose where you're like, hey, we're here, it's got all the stuff in the back, like, there's... Why would you do that if you're not going to the University of Maryland?
Correct.
Is my question. That makes no sense.
He's not making it a fan vote, right? Whether he he should be there.
Unless, I guess, every Maryland fan is like, no, we don't want you. Okay, well, fine, I guess. Sure. Like, I wouldn't understand why he would do it any other way.
No.
So I'm acting under the assumption that this means he's playing at the University of Maryland. I guess we cannot say with certainty that Connor Asijan has officially transferred to Maryland.
Right.
But that is the... assumption
the
I think
smoke.
We can all make
we'll
by what
fire.
He shared on social media this morning. So the question, 844-770-3776, are you excited about facing former players in the regular season, whether it's Aaron Rodgers with the Jets? Like, he can go to the Jets and in theory never play against the Green Bay Packers throughout the rest of his career. Corbin Burns gets a chance to specifically face the Brewers tomorrow in Baltimore at Camden Yards. There's so many other players that you can look at over the course of time. Milwaukee Bucks players that have gone on to play for other teams. Green Bay Packers players. Heck, we saw Mike Daniels yesterday on the tailgate tour stopping in Sun Prairie. He played in Detroit and Cincinnati for a couple of years after he was done in Green Bay. And there's no doubt when he played for the Lions, one of the things he had in mind was getting revenge on the Packers. So Greg Jennings, it's one thing when you go to Miami and play for the Dolphins.
Right.
It's another thing when you go to Minnesota and you're suiting up in the purple playing for the Vikings. Brett Favre, of course.
Yes.
So for me, as a fan watching these games, I'm excited by the drama that it creates throughout the regular season. Anytime you can add more stakes to a regular season game in any sport, I'm all in for it. I love a storyline heading into a game. I love the drama. I love the excitement of seeing Corbin Burns tomorrow, a Sunday afternoon game between the Brewers and Orioles in the middle of April on Masters Sunday. Like, what's going to be the draw for that game otherwise, outside of the Brewers having an amazing start to the year? Well, have it be against your former Cy Young winner who wants revenge because of how he was treated on his way out of Milwaukee. Like, that's the kind of thing that, for me, I'm signing up to watch that anytime I get it. And so even though there might be that extra heartbreak that comes from Burns might strike out 15 tomorrow and make us look foolish, and it's going to be, you know, a laughingstock headline on Monday morning for those who are talking baseball. Oh, look at what the Brewers did. They punted on Corbin Burns, and look what he did to him. Like, why? How can you get rid of that guy? I understand that could happen, but also, what if we beat him up?
Absolutely.
Like, that's what I'm signing up for. And that's the anytime you can just get the entertainment value from the game, that's what I want to see.
Yeah, and, you know, Burns has more to lose than the Brewers do in this one. He would be expected to win that game tomorrow. So I think that takes a lot of the heat off the Brewers. I'm with you. I think, like, the whole idea of, like, fearing or being afraid or whatever else like that, that's not in the psyche of professional athletes to begin with, especially professional athletes, but even college. Like, as good as a guy is, you always want to measure up. You're measuring up every day in practice. Like, I know he's on your team, but you're going against him to see how good you are. So that happens constantly. And all this is carrying it out to the field. The drama, you can't beat. As you said, it's an April game for the Brewers tomorrow. There's not a lot of stakes involved. You go out there and play baseball. It's 101-62. So bring it. I love it. I love seeing it.
844-770-3776 is the ESPN Wisconsin talk and text line. That's 844-770-3776. Your way into the show with us all day today for until 2 o'clock at the Bogey Factory. Jesse Nelson, Adam Mertz, what a spectacular Saturday in Madison. So it started with the Barstool Open downtown, the Bud Light Barstool Open with Alex Strofe and Molly Brown over at Whiskey Jack's downtown. So the Bud Lights are flowing, everybody having an amazing time down there, enjoying Masters Saturday, one of our favorite events we get to be part of every year. The grand opening of the Bogey Factory here in Verona, where Mertzy and I are with you till 2 o'clock. The Masters are on, the leaders teeing off at 1:35, 1:45 this afternoon with some significant names atop the leaderboard. We'll dive into that a little bit as we continue on in the show. And then the Easter Seals charity basketball game going on at 3 o'clock this afternoon, which our own Jim Rutledge and Alex Strofe are not only coaching slash broadcasting, but they're also competing as players.
Multi-talented. They always said they're multi-talented.
Versatility is key, and there's no doubt. I don't know what Strofe's going to be able to bring to the table as a player in that game. Jim, we know, at least has some basketball playing experience throughout his time, but Strofe, I don't even – he says – the last time he played organized basketball was, what, years ago?
JV.
High school?
JV, yeah.
Which for him is 6 years ago, I think, at this point, 7 years ago. Good luck to you, Strofe. When you're surrounded by former Badgers competing in that game this afternoon at Madison College, you can head on over there. You can get tickets at the door. Come on in, support a great cause over at Madison College, the Easter Seals celebrity basketball game. You're going to want to check that out. I'm going to be stopping by after our show here this afternoon in Verona at the Bogey Factory, where we're celebrating the grand opening. Can't wait to get some food, see the drinks flowing for everybody, enjoying them throughout the bar, at the simulators. Amazing day at the Bogey Factory. We're happy to celebrate it with you. And coming up next, we're going to shift gears, talk a little Green Bay Packers. Packers are always key. And when we want to talk Green Bay Packers, there was something that was said. Yeah, exactly, Alex G. Yeah. When we want to talk Green Bay Packers, there was something that was said on Wilde and Tausch this week that I want to get Adam Mertz's response to, because it got me hyped for the next 10 years of Green Bay Packers football.
That's a long time.
We're going to talk about it coming up next. ESPN Madison Saturday, live at the Bogey Factory in Verona. Jesse Nelson, Adam Mertz, live from the Bogey Factory. Grand opening celebration in Verona on Masters Saturday. We're with you until 2 o'clock. What a crowd. What an atmosphere. What a building, Mertzy. This is just beautiful. When you talk about brand new places, especially out here in Verona, you want to talk about like being state-of-the-art, best of the best, the technology for the simulators, the food, the drinks, the menus, just the vibe. Incredible spot here. I will be back, no doubt.
Yeah, absolutely. Really, really nice place. A lot of energy, opening day. I saw a lot of green in here. I was thinking it was Masters, and I look closer, it's Waterford. Like, guys from Waterford came up all the way to Verona here to take part in today's
from
activity.
My old stomping grounds, yeah. Right outside Muskego. I wonder what those guys are doing. That's amazing. 844-770-3776 is your way into the show with us on the ESPN Wisconsin Talk and Text line. That's 844-770-3776. Jesse Nelson, Adam Mertz, producer Alex Gravatt back in the Everlight Solar Studios downtown Madison with you until 2 o'clock this afternoon on a big Saturday around the Madison area here on 100.5 ESPN. A big week on Wilde and Tausch, and I don't say that all the time, but when I get a chance to host the show on Saturday, I want to flaunt what I do a little bit every weekday, 9 to noon. Very well-produced show, Wilde and Tausch, if I do say so myself. And earlier today, I shared this clip on our social media platforms from Wilde and Tausch. Matt Bowen, ESPN NFL writer and analyst, joined us on Thursday. He's a Big Ten guy. Went to Iowa, yep. Played for a bunch of teams around the league. Tausch is good buddies with him, was in the same draft class. He was drafted ahead of Tausch and Tom Brady in the 2000
how
NFL draft. I don't know whose career ended up being the best of those three, but Matt Bowen up to a lot of success of his own. And he joined us, and Tausch asked him a question about Jordan Love and his development, and Matt Bowen's answer really stood out to me. I want you to hear this.
You watched Jordan Love evolve last season.
Mm-hmm.
Were you surprised that he played as well as he did, or were you anticipating he was going to look as good as he did at the end of the season?
Probably not that quickly. Okay, you know, first year as a pro starter. But I'll tell you what, over the second half of the season, he was a star. He was.
Mm-hmm.
He was a star in terms of his production, in terms of his tape, in terms of his fit in Matt Eberflus's offense, in terms of how he managed the offense. Look, he's on a path right now, considering how young they are, the talent they have around him, and what they did during free agency and what they could do now during the draft, where he can be consistently, when you're talking about top 10 quarterbacks in the league, he's going to be in that discussion. That's how much talent he has. And that's how well he played last year. And that's not by accident. It's an accident if it happens one or two games. Not on the stretch he did. And it's understandable the first half of the season, getting adjusted to being a first-time starter, getting adjusted to NFL speed week in and week out. And then you see the progression and the growth. That's a sign of coaching. That's a sign of real development. So it's not just Jordan Love. Give credit to that coaching staff, too, in Green Bay, and the receivers around him making plays as well. It's a really fun offense to watch. And, you know, Jordan Love's going to be around for a long time. And I live in Chicago, and that's not a good discussion to have down here right now, because it's Favre, it's Rodgers, and now it might be Jordan Love for a long time.
It's Favre, it's Rodgers, and now it might be Jordan Love for a long time. ESPN's Matt Bowen joining Wilde and Tausch earlier this week. Mertzi, you hear that from an ESPN NFL writer with a 10,000-foot view.
Yeah.
This isn't Jason Wilde, Mark Tauscher,
yep,
Alex Stroh, any of these people that are locally trying to hype up the Packers. This is a national reporter who just kind of dabbles in a little bit of everything around the league, and he's saying that type of thing after seeing the final 9 games and the playoff run for Jordan Love and his development and what it meant for the scope of the Green Bay Packers. What's your takeaway from hearing that?
Yeah, it's impressive because, to your point, those guys at the national writers, their credibility is their opinions. And so for him to put himself out there and stake himself to Jordan Love the way that he did, and not just kind of an offhand comment, but getting pretty deep into what he saw of his evolution, which is what I feel like a lot of us felt like we saw, but just to have that validation from someone who's a little bit outside of the Green Bay circle, doesn't have the green and gold colored glasses. What he did last year was incredibly impressive, and I'd love to chat a little bit more with you, but I want to hear your viewpoint on his evolution, too.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's one thing when Matt Hamilton says in the afternoon that Amari Rodgers is going to be a future Hall of Famer. Like, okay, like that's, you know, you're looking
right
at that optimistically
right
at
you love
times,
that.
For
love
sure.
Love that enthusiasm.
This is just observations and analysis, and
yep,
that's, you know, a lot of times when those spark this type of opinion from people of credibility around the league, that is what stands out most to me. When I hear Matt Bowen say that about the Green Bay Packers, I think back to where we were not necessarily a year ago, because that was still coming out of all the Rodgers trade situation at this point, but let's talk about where the Packers were in October when fans
absolutely
were sarcastically applauding a first down against the Minnesota Vikings late in that month when the losing streak was going on, and the narrative was starting to become, oh, Matt LaFleur can't win without Aaron Rodgers. Matt LaFleur can't win a big game. Now he can't win without a Hall of Fame quarterback. Is he even the right guy to lead this team? Or is this going to be a whole scrap it, and this team may never get back to the glory days of what the last 30 years have been? Only 2 Super Bowls. What are we going to do?
Yeah.
Now look where they are. You're getting Matt Bowen, a national ESPN writer, coming on Wilde and Tausch this week, saying this coaching staff deserves a ton of praise for what they did. And that's Matt LaFleur, that's Tom Clements, that's everybody across the board. Tom Clements doesn't get nearly enough credit for the job that he's done with Jordan Love. When you look at all the structure, Goody, Mark Murphy, who I ran into yesterday at the Buck and Honey's VIP event for the Packers tailgate tour coming into town. When you talk about across the board, the Packers are now recognized as one of the strongest, sturdiest, most credible organizations. And there's a lot of pressure that comes when people around the league say, look at that team, they know what they're doing. But it's also great to be in that handful of teams. There aren't many of them. New England was. They're not anymore.
Right.
So who else is it? Pittsburgh?
Right.
Green Bay?
Who's teetering?
San Francisco? And I don't even know if you could say Kansas City in full, probably because of the success that they've had.
Yeah.
But that's probably where the list stops right now of teams that you can consistently say know what they're doing. And when you're looking at who are the role models around the National Football League to exemplify like how to run an organization, the Packers are now that top to bottom.
Yeah, and not to go like total old man on you, but I think back to the late 70s, the early 80s, which is when I started coming of age in terms of following the NFL, and all you heard was people lamenting that this wasn't the Lombardi years yet. And that franchise was in disarray, if in the manner that you're talking about, the infrastructure, the leadership, the strategy, the financial plan behind everything that they have going on. It is an absolute 180 at this point when you look to what they've done to sort of stabilize and take advantage of the non-ownership situation versus that being a liability for so long and so much infighting that was going on. Goody has done a lot of unpopular things through his time. And I think that everyone is like, hey, everyone who's seen sports for a long time is like, you got to give it time. You can't judge these things on the day of. That may turn out to be a horrible decision. It may turn out to be a great decision. For him to have the wherewithal and the confidence in his vision for what he wanted to accomplish and to stick to it and to not get kind of chatty about it. I haven't seen him kind of delve down into a lot of the critics and you just buy into a lot of that negativity. For the way that it's paid off to this point is probably beyond his wildest imagination. Because, I mean, he had it set up pretty well last year for Jordan Love to be an experiment.
Yeah.
And to see if it worked. And they had to make a decision pretty quickly about whether they were in or out with him. And for them, again, to show that level of faith in Jordan Love, where he was at in that level of his development, to put that money down for another contract and be lining up another big one right now, that speaks to where they're at in terms of the future with this young man at quarterback.
In Madison Saturday, Jesse Nelson, Adam Mertz were the back nine of our back-to-back shows this morning on Masters Saturday, live from the Bogey Factory. 844-770-3776 is the number into the show for you to share your thoughts as well. 844-770-3776. Mertzy, I think what this also shows me as a football fan is the official difference between a head coach and a general manager. And yeah. I love, like,
yeah.
How Bill Belichick or Mike Sherman ever did both, I'll never understand now. Because Matt LaFleur gets to say, like, when he says he wasn't entirely in on the Aaron Jones decision, or
yeah.
He wasn't entirely in, like, he can take the side of Aaron Rodgers as his quarterback until he's not and say, you know what, this guy is a Hall of Famer. Any chance we get to win with him, that's what I want. Goody gets to step back and say, okay, not only do I want to win now, but I also need to continue to build this team
yep.
for the future.
Yep.
And Goody actually gets to look at the players more impersonally and more, and I think it was Jason Wilde who shared this insight a few weeks ago. He looks at it not as Jordan Love, franchise quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, making however much money we need to pay him because he needs to be our leader. He looks at it as number 10 wearing the green and gold, leading the team, and what's the right salary for justifying what his statistical representation is.
Yeah.
That's actually how I want the general manager to run a team.
Yes.
And I know that's a very impersonal thing, and that's kind of, it goes like that. That's more when you want to talk about big company, big structure.
It's a business.
In any line of work.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to be just a statistic and just a number or just an ID that you swipe in and be like, okay, that's employee number 01543, whatever. Like, that's not what you want to be considered. But as someone who runs a football organization, that actually is what I want him to look at the roster as, because that's the way that you can get the most out of your players, bang for your buck, and in a team that needs to do that, in a system in the NFL that needs to figure out how to best do that, I want Goody overlooking the roster that way, and I want Matt LaFleur being on the player's side, being like, okay, guys, what can I do to motivate you? What can I do to get you in the best spot to succeed? I don't know what they're doing up in the office, but here's what we're doing down here. And it's almost a little bit of a rallying thing that can bring the team more together in that sense, too. I love that dynamic. And I think the Packers, whether it was intentional or not, have figured out a way to maximize that. That may have been part of the reason for the late season success last year.
Yeah, and what you're speaking to, too, I think about the healthy tension then between LaFleur and Goody to be able to have those conversations.
Healthy tension is great.
Healthy
yes.
tensions. You can't have companies where there's not debate and different ideas. If we're going to go like the corporate route here, you have to have that tension there in terms of thought process and idea. What you also have to have is a GM who understands exactly what the coach is trying to accomplish with that talent so he can deliver that type of talent. Because if you're on the wrong page that way, then it's going to lead to some difficulty. But it seems like those two are wired in terms of the type of player that LaFleur wants. Goody's going to go out and get him for the price that he feels is appropriate. Obviously, the big offseason decision with Aaron Jones and not closing the deal with him. I think that's the next one that's going to be sitting out there of kind of like, wow. And you're talking about where's the, I'm trying to tie this back to Jordan Love. Where is the remaining doubt about Jordan Love? It's that Aaron Jones was flourishing in the second half of the season. And if you're going to say that he had to lean on anything, it would be Aaron Jones's performance to be a more multidimensional offense. Not saying that to take away from what Jordan Love did, because I'll give you a lot of my own eyesight evidence in terms of his comfort level in the pocket. He moved from more of a robotic play into a natural play, an instinctual play. And that's where I thought I saw the development from him. But Aaron Jones was a big piece of that. So to do the Jones and Jacobs swatch, you know, this offseason, we'll see how that pans out.
Yep.
And how that plays into Jordan Love's success and the franchise's success.
But to tie it all together, going back to what Matt Bowen said on Wilde and Tausch a couple of days ago, blind faith in this organization, because they've figured it out so many times, is now earned.
You have to have a trust.
You trust Goody until it doesn't work. You trust LaFleur until it doesn't work. And there's times that you can be skeptical if a game goes poorly, or there can be times that you don't trust Goody if there's one player that doesn't necessarily pan out. Like we know his draft has been up and down at various points, especially those third-round picks. But what we have seen is that ultimately he puts the team in a position to compete for a Super Bowl, even when it's least expected, where they had a lead in the fourth quarter in San Francisco a year ago.
I mean, it's
crazy.
It's crazy. I know I was thinking back to our preseason show when we were debating whether who would have more wins, the Packers or the Badgers. And that turned out to be a conversation that we didn't expect to go the direction that it did. But the Packers getting in at 9-8, and you're thinking, before the season, if you heard that, you'd be like, okay, they squeaked in. You know, they're a first-round punch-out. They're not really there yet, but that was a team that was right on the verge of challenging for a berth in the Super Bowl, and that's incredibly impressive what they're able to accomplish. Hey, can I roll some Jordan Love stats for you quickly?
Let's do it. Yeah, so Mercy's got numbers.
I had to look back on it because you want to – yes, we saw what we saw in terms of his development, but over the last – starting with Game 10 against the Chargers through – the season finale, the regular season finale, second in passer rating, 112.7. Second in completion percentage, 70.3. Second in touchdowns, 16. First in interceptions with only one, in a good sense, first with interceptions. Mm-hmm. You know, the numbers are there to prove what you saw with your eyes, too.
That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, when you... The further we get removed from last season, the more impressed I am with what Jordan Love did in the second half of it. Because when you're enjoying the run, you're kind of living in the moment. Yeah. And you're like, oh, okay, this is fun. He's coming into his own. And, yeah, there's some good. There's also some bad. You're kind of hanging on, seeing what comes next. Now you look back on it and look at that final nine-game stretch. Holy smokes, was he good.
It was wild. And the team was so fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you. The last year of Rodgers, to me, was the, like, why are we doing this?
Yeah.
And you had to sit there and watch it, and you knew that he wasn't happy being there. It was visible. He doesn't have much of a poker face on the football field. And you're wondering directionally, like, what are we trying to accomplish as an organization with this guy, with this roster? It was a mismatch. Seeing all those young guys out there this year having fun, growing together, learning together, you're like, you have a nucleus here that you can build from and be really excited about for years to come.
844-770-3776, your way into the show. Jesse Nelson, Adam Mertz, ESPN Madison Saturday, live from the grand opening of the Bogey Factory in Verona. I smell a chicken sandwich somewhere that I cannot wait to get my hands on. I knew coming in today, Mertzy, if they got a chicken sandwich on the menu, I'm finding it.
All
and
right.
There it is. I'm finding that thing here before our time wraps up at 2 o'clock this afternoon. It smells so good. I can't wait to enjoy that. I can't wait to get into the simulators, hit a few balls here, and enjoy everything that this brand-new state-of-the-art indoor golf simulator spot has to offer. The Bogey Factory in Verona, your new favorite stop for indoor golf in the greater Madison area. Stop by, come on in for the grand opening today. Just check it out, say hi to us, grab yourself a beverage at the bar, hang out with our team. It's going to be so much fun with you till 2 o'clock if you're driving around looking for a spot to also watch the Masters on this Saturday. Where does the Masters land in Adam Mertz's sports power rankings of massive events? We're going to talk about that coming up next. It's ESPN Madison Saturday, live at the Bogey Factory. I just want to use your love tonight. Whoa. I don't want to lose your love tonight. ESPN Madison Saturday, live from the grand opening of the Bogey Factory in Verona. Jesse Nelson, Adam Mertz, and we welcome those of you watching on the ESPN Madison YouTube video stream as well. I think we're on Twitter as well, so say hi to everybody. Mertz, wave to all the people watching on the video stream with us. 844-770-3776, your way into the show. That includes Ryan and Madison chiming in on the text line. Luck also plays a factor in the Packers' success. I'd agree, Mertzy, that luck plays a factor in the Packers' success. Like, you have to get lucky that Jordan Love develops into the player that he did. Ted Thompson had to get lucky that Aaron Rodgers developed into the player that he did when he decided to move on from Brett Favre after reaching an NFC Championship game. But there's also a certain level of, yes, that's lucky, but you also have to trust your analysis. You have to trust your scouts. You have to trust the entire program that you've built, the structure that you've created to make sure that it all comes together. So while luck is significant, like, yeah, right place, right time with Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City, or right place, right time with Joe Burrow in Cincinnati, like, yes, it all, you know, that type of thing does flip a franchise around. Or same thing if you draft a franchise quarterback who gets hurt all the time, Andrew Luck, while we're on the topic of luck,
right?
Like, it's there, but it doesn't work out. Like, yes, that's something that can go against you, but you got to trust that your structure is in place. And that's what I feel good about hearing Matt Bowen say that on Wilde and Tausch, and what we talk about now when we think of the Green Bay Packers organization.
Yeah, I feel like there's luck in everything, and there's, you know, good breaks. Are you able to capitalize on them? And that's the thing that you see more and more, longer you're around organizations that are just structurally sound, are ready, have their players ready for those opportunities when they arise, are thoughtful about their approach of, you know, who they have, you know, in player development, and the coaching staff, the training staff, all this stuff. It's like, yeah, it's luck. Sometimes stars align, I would say, more than luck. But it is about having a solid structure and a solid foundation to build off of. I'm just such a huge believer in that on the business side, on the sports side. The longer you're around, the more you see it. Like, yeah, there's the occasional team that comes out of nowhere that does something, that everything goes their way. More often than not, that's not going to happen.
Harvey Dent, I make my own luck.
Like,
have a structure in place that allows you better opportunities to get lucky.
Absolutely.
For lack of a better phrase, I guess that's how it works. And the Packers have now proven that they continue to be able to do that. Another text here from Ben in Madison. We'll get to your power rankings of the big sporting events, including Masters Saturday here, Masters weekend, as we celebrate at the Bogey Factory grand opening in Verona. We'll get to that coming up in a little bit. Ben in Madison, I don't even know if you take texts on the weekends. Guess what? Today we do, Ben. I feel compelled to speak. Jesse, sat down. And to say Kansas City isn't one of those teams competing, like, look at structure, we were talking about that last segment. Does winning Super Bowls matter to you? Because that's the only thing that matters to me, and since Jordan Love took over, the Packers have zero, and Kansas City has one. All right, Ben. G, also. Was this you disguised as Ben and Madison texting in? You're laughing at me as I read this? It's a little rude. Here's the thing. Ben and Madison, yes, I understand that Kansas City won the Super Bowl last year. They have Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, and they have a structure in place that's good. Yes, I understand. Maybe I shorted Kansas City a little bit in wondering if they are one of the, you know, teams that you look to as role models around the National Football League. Kansas City wasn't that until they had Patrick Mahomes, though. Alex Smith got them to a certain point, but Andy Reid and Mahomes are what really have put this entire thing together. And so the Packers have had different quarterbacks, different coaches, different general managers, and this thing continues to roll now for three decades. So that's why I'm not willing yet to say that Kansas City is one of those. They very well could be, and if you want to look at dynasties of this last decade, no doubt Kansas City is the most successful NFL team in the last decade. New England, I guess, I've got to do the math on how many years a decade is at this point now, going back, and when New England's championships were. So between New England and Kansas City, sure, those were the two most successful teams of the last decade. But I'm saying, look at 30 years. Look at more than just the recent history. The Packers continue to win division titles, continue to make the playoffs, continue to put themselves in a position to make a Super Bowl run. The New York Giants were that until about 10 years ago, or until 5-6 years ago, let's say, when Eli Manning and Tom Coughlin left. The Pittsburgh Steelers continue to be that. Even though they haven't had the playoff success, Mike Tomlin gets these teams to finish over 500. Prior to him, it was Bill Cowher. Stability, structure, franchise quarterbacks, getting the best out of their players. That's what I'm looking for when I'm sharing this analysis of what I think the role models of the National Football League are. Am I crazy to say that, Mertzi? Are you on Ben and Madison's team here that I'm a little ahead of my skis, let's say, with saying that Kansas City is not one of those teams?
I thought that you actually were recovering and just had omitted Kansas City. I didn't take it as a shot on them. It was more like coming back and being like, well, obviously Kansas City. That's what I took here.
Okay.
You're coming
Well, now I just doubled down, so now you can get after me if you want.
So I think of Kansas City as one of those really well-run franchises over time. I think that the Hunt family always had that stability. You look at the fan base that they have, the revenue that was coming in, the allegiance to that team. They were always very competitive.
Sure.
Going back to the 90s, going back to picking up Joe Montana late in his career, you know, that type of thing. Did they get over the top? No. They did not get over the top.
For
a long time. They were kind of that second tier in terms of performance, but always a really solid team.
Yeah. You know who I've omitted that I do want to mention on the list? Baltimore.
That, for sure.
The Baltimore Ravens
with
are definitely
Harbaugh
one
and everything they've done.
One of the and even prior to Hart. Like the stability, the consistency of the Baltimore Ravens amid different coaches, different quarterbacks, different defensive coordinators, all the changes that these franchises go through. That's what I'm looking at when I talk about the role models of the league. Not just one particular coach, quarterback, run. Like even Brady and Belichick, although that's different because it goes all
forever
encompassing with the culture they created. But not looking at just those very specific situations, but big picture, when we're talking multiple decades through different changes, what stays the same? And Pittsburgh, Green Bay, Kansas City, we can include in there.
I'd put them in.
Baltimore, like those are the teams that are just like they're on another level when you're talking about consistency and ability. And being a role model of structure in the National Football
League. You know, a notable team that we're admitting, I think intentionally, at least on my part, is the Cowboys. That's a team that...
Well, they're interesting.
Are there a lot of times, have the talent a lot of times, and can never, ever put it together.
But I think universally, Mertz, anyone would look at the Cowboys and say, do you want the Cowboys structure or do you want the Steelers structure? Even if it's relatively the same amount of success over the last 30 years, including Super Bowl appearance, I guess Pittsburgh's been to a few more.
Yeah.
But let's say going back to when the Cowboys won a couple. Like, if you want to include all that and say, okay, whose structure do you want? Everyone's going to pick Pittsburgh because of Jerry Jones, right?
Correct. Yes.
No doubt. So that's why I don't think you can include the Cowboys
in
that list.
I don't.
San Francisco is an interesting one because they were down in the dumps for quite a while. But then they have made this, like, they did a full turnaround in how they've created their structure. We know the cycle of quarterbacks they've gone through and how they've built that roster. It's definitely different than the other teams that I'm including on this list, but that's an interesting one to consider, and I think they have to sustain it for another, 5-10 years? Before we can really put them in the same list?
Well, because, the same thought, that they kind of are in that same category as maybe where the Seahawks were 10 years ago.
Yeah, that's a good
point. And they had a really nice thing going there, but they weren't able to sustain it past that group of players that they had, past that nucleus.
The Legion of Boom.
Yeah, no doubt. Legion of Boom.
Keep the text coming in on this Saturday afternoon. 844-770-3776. Your way into the show as it's Jesse Nelson, Adam Mertz live at the Bogey Factory. Grand opening in Verona. I'm jealous now, Mertzi. Our ESPN Madison team has the bay reserved over here. They're starting to hit some balls. We got them all hanging out. I want to get over there and take a few swings. So I also got to get that chicken sandwich. Oh, I know it's around here somewhere. We'll talk about that coming up. All the great things going on here at the Bogey Factory and the unveiling of Adam Mertz's big sporting event power rankings.
Man.
Where does the Masters weekend rank in Adam Mertz's list of monumental sports weeks of the year? We will find that out coming up next. By the way, a programming note, we did talk about Jeff Levering of the Brewers Radio Networks, originally scheduled to appear at 1 o'clock. Well, Pat Murphy, manager of the Brewers, talking at 1:10 this afternoon, so we're going to push him back a little bit. 1:30, Jeff Levering going to appear with us to talk some Brewers. I know we want to talk Brewers because it's been a great start to the season, so can't wait to do that with Jeff Levering of the Brewers Radio Network, Valley Sports Wisconsin. He's coming up at 1:30. Mertzi's power rankings of big sports coming up next, live from the Bogey Factory. It's ESPN Madison Saturday. Take on me. ESPN Madison Saturday live at the Bogey Factory grand opening in Verona. Jesse Nelson along with Adam Mertz, who's a man of the people, out and about saying hi to everybody if you're watching us on the video stream. He's coming back. There he is. We're live at the Bogey Factory grand opening. There are a lot of people here for Mertz to say hi to because this place is awesome. Word has spread. People are here to celebrate on Masters Saturday, the grand opening of the Bogey Factory. Again, state-of-the-art indoor golf center. I just went over by our ESPN Madison team, Mertz, and what I love about the setup here at the Bogey Factory. Sometimes you go to these golf simulator places. I've been to some in Milwaukee, Chicago.
Yeah.
And they're like kind of on top of each other.
Right.
And you're like kind of almost shoulder to shoulder in a way when you're kind of sitting back waiting for your turn with some of the people next to you. So much space here in each of the bays for you to get up there. You got enough room to get comfortable, take your swings, be able to like just relax with the group that you're with. And that's what our Madison team is doing. And that's what I look forward to doing once our show wraps up here at 2 o'clock, taking a few swings.
My clubs are in the car.
Yeah, they should be. I told you to bring them. There we go. Can't wait for it. The Bogey Factory, you got to check this place out in Verona. Grand opening today. Of course, you'll have plenty of opportunities to get by if you can't join us here this afternoon. But feel free to come by, say hi. Mertz and I love saying hi to people. Come
Absolutely.
On out. Say hi to us. Enjoy a drink. They've got this beautiful setup outside here, too. It's like this little pavilion right behind us you can see on the video stream. Picnic tables, a shaded area. They got bags to play out there, and they've got windows that open from the bar going to the outside. Yeah, there's a garage door right behind us. This one will open up.
Yeah.
So it just opens up. It's an indoor and outdoor experience. It's really cool. Check it out, the Bogey Factory in Verona. We're celebrating the grand opening with you here this afternoon. Alex Gravatt is our producer back in the Everlight Solar Studio at ESPN
Hi.
Madison. Yeah, you can't be here at the Bogey Factory with us, dude. Like, you're missing out. I got
to
tell you.
It's okay. I was able to go check out there's a girls flag football event in Verona. So I was out in Verona earlier today, and I think that's really cool. So I've been outside. I've been enjoying
nice.
The day.
That's awesome. Part of our Zimbrick Honda Prep Mania Game Changers program. That's really cool that you were able to be out here. So, yeah, you could have swung by. You know what? Actually, gee, this is your fault. They were open at 10 a.m. You could have come by here this morning and stopped it. This is all on you.
I
don't feel bad anymore.
I had to come back here for you. You
could have
be on the air?
You could have been here for a few minutes. You could have been here for a few minutes. It's your fault you didn't stop in after being out in Verona this morning. That's
on you. I'm busy supporting women's sports, Jesse.
That's great. And then you can come support the Bogey Factory by having a drink, hit a few balls before you go in and run the show at noon. Huh? There you go.
Okay.
844-770-3776. G, can you cue up the NFL Countdown Power Rankings music for us, please? Because Adam Mertz is ready to unveil on Masters Saturday his power rankings of significant sports events of the calendar year. Mertzy, unveil your list.
So I'm the king of omission when it comes to stuff like this.
Okay,
so
all right.
I already predict.
G and I are here to vet it with you.
I already predict that I will leave out one that you're like, wait, why is that not on there?
All right, let's hear it.
So number one is lame. It's probably almost everyone's number one. It's the Super Bowl. I mean, you just can't get past the spectacle of the Super Bowl, the American culture that's built around it.
A
national holiday. People don't care about football, watch it. People who care about football hate watching it with other people who don't like watching it. So it is an event, especially if your team's in it. But even not, it's those games that you'll just tune in for the commercials, if nothing else. Number one, I'm a massive baseball fan. That would be my number one sport, like, through life, for sure.
Wow.
So the World Series, for me, is something that I tune into every year. Even if I've been lackluster in my regular season viewing, I think playoff baseball is just absolutely phenomenal. And as big of a critic as I was of the pitch clock and some of the rule changes, theoretically coming in because I don't like rules interrupting baseball, it's been amazing for the sport, especially in the postseason. The tension is there, and you don't have time for pitchers to screw it up for you.
Yep.
Or batters getting out of the box and undoing their gloves. So I think World Series is number two. It's awesome. Awesome.
Wow.
Awesome.
That's very high for the World Series.
Very high for the World Series. No, my second sport, college football. College football title game and now the expanded playoffs, which I'm thrilled about. That is going to be an amazing event this fall, this winter, with the progression.
I'm really
games.
Excited to see what those games on campus sites look
yes.
like for and the first round.
How cool is that, too, to do the campus sites for the first round? Yeah. I know it's not practical throughout and not fair throughout, I think it is legit to do for that first round.
Okay. I have some feedback, but I will wait until you finish off your top five here.
And we only got top five because I had
the Masters is lower than that. Is that what you're telling me?
It's just a little bit lower because I'll surprise you.
Let's get to the
March Madness.
That's number four.
That
for
is
you.
Number four.
Interesting.
That is number four.
See, I think many people would have March Madness number one.
So I think that speaks a little bit maybe to college basketball's evolution over time.
Sure.
And my interest level in it when I think back to when I was first watching it coming up in the 80s and the 90s and the zeros. And you just had a little bit more consistency.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now it's a little bit, especially in basketball, because of the visibility of the guys in the transfer portal, it does feel a little bit more free agent. I enjoy watching it just as much. I don't have that same affiliation or affinity for the players or teams. It's more of a cool event to watch.
Okay.
This one, you'd be like, what? Why is this on there? Because this is the only sport I was any good at. And this is something I just love watching every year is Wimbledon.
Wimbledon.
Love Wimbledon. Love Wimbledon.
You got Wimbledon ahead of the Masters weekend?
I do have Wimbledon ahead of Masters.
You got the World Series ahead of March Madness?
Seems almost un-American.
Well, I mean, I don't want to say that, but I don't even know when Wimbledon is. Like 4th of July?
Yeah, you got it. You got it. Late June, early July.
I got things going on 4th of July. Or up at
it's
the cabin.
Amazing.
I'm not paying attention to Wimbledon in the morning.
I love the grass. I love the whites. I love the game.
Yeah.
I love everything about it. I love that it's morning sports, which is another reason
morning
I love the British Open.
Yeah, morning
which
sports
is one of my favorites.
Fun, sure, yeah, that.
So that's pretty cool.
All right.
And I'll just give you the extras because we've got
to
get the
honorable mentions. Yeah,
NBA Finals.
Yep.
I really don't watch a ton of regular season NBA, but the playoff basketball is incredible.
Uh-huh.
Masters comes in next.
Yeah.
Masters is... That and the British are the two golf tournaments that I do not miss.
So you've got it seventh
I have it
on
seventh.
Your list.
I have
okay,
it seventh,
seventh is Masters
yes.
weekend.
So tell me how heretical or
right.
insane that list is.
Well, I have some feedback. First, let's go to Alex G. back in the Everlight Solar Studio. Alex G., your feedback to Adam Mertz's list of top sporting events of the year.
I can't believe you didn't put the UFA finals on there. Championship weekend.
No one
weekend.
Knows what that even
it's
is.
It's the ultimate frisbee championship, Jesse Nelson. You know what it is, and I know that the Madison Radicals have a very real shot of making it this year. I want to see that on your top list, Adam. I will get you tickets for next year or for this year. It's in Salt Lake City, Utah. We'll go.
Ryan and Madison on the text line is all over this. First, he asks, is there a disc golf simulator here at the Bogey Factory for G to enjoy? There is not, but thank you for asking, Ryan.
Do you then know he that says, for sure? There's not one?
I have not seen
I
one.
Guess I haven't
don't
gone
know
over
that
to the
for sure,
I can't
right?
say with 100% certainty there is not. I'm pretty confident there's not. He also says, this list is an outlier, not the normal, seriously, from Ryan and Madison.
That's what it's supposed to be. It's my list, Ryan.
It's Mertz's list. This is why it's open to controversy, yes. Okay, so the World Series is too high because I got to admit, like, even when it's a good World Series, like Braves Astros was a couple of years ago, that wasn't must-see television for me to tune in and, like, I have to watch this. I had it on in the background. I was like, okay, I want to know what's going on.
Yeah.
But it's not like I'm sitting down and watching the World Series tonight. And I think for me, that's just been the evolution of baseball and how it's become more of a regionalized game, less than a national
for
game.
For sure.
March Madness should be much higher. I think the opening weekend of March Madness surpasses Super Bowl just because of the quantity. But the Super Bowl is a firm number two, if not number one. Either of those one, two, no problem with it. College football opening weekend, I think, is better than college football's national championship.
Really?
When you go Thursday night, you've got that Central Michigan-Oklahoma game on Thursday night all the way through Labor Day Monday with a neutral site game in Orlando or Atlanta, wherever they play. That whole five-day stretch, you're playing college football on a Sunday afternoon, San Jose at Oregon State this year, and we were dialed in. You know we were because that's what – like, that to me is the better – portion of the college football schedule, and what gets you more excited is the newness of the season.
Okay.
So I would put opening weekend higher.
Opening weekend.
I do think Masters weekend because, I mean, just look outside right now here at the Bogey Factory. It's beautiful. People are enjoying the day drinks are flowing all day long. You're playing golf outside. You're doing your spring cleaning. You're sitting back and like, okay, I'm going to take care of some stuff around the house in the morning and then just kick back and watch the Masters with a few great players involved this afternoon atop the leaderboard. Like, this is awesome. Like, the Masters Saturday is probably fifth, I think, on my list. Fifth on my list. College basketball. So I got March Madness, Super Bowl. What else did I just say already? College football's opening weekend.
Yeah, you need a four.
I do need a four. Maybe I actually have the Masters weekend four.
Okay.
And I'm not even a huge golf guy.
Yeah, but that's interesting.
That's just to me all where Masters weekend ranks.
I feel disrespected.
Opening day of baseball is probably five because of the pageantry of it. That still is fun. So opening day of baseball I would put as five. Those are my power rankings. I'm sorry, no Frisbee.
Six? Was UFA six?
I gotta keep scrolling to try and find where the Frisbee Championship lands on my list. Sorry, G.
It's back fine. Listen, here's the thing. The old manager, Tom, he was fantastic. He came to my games. He was a supporter of all of his teammates. Jesse Nelson hasn't come out, hasn't asked.
No.
It's whatever.
You know, when is that season?
It starts in May. So, you know.
I'm busy. 844-770-3776. The ESPN Wisconsin Talk and Text Line. Your reactions to our list of the best sports. I don't even know what to call it. The best significant sports weekends? Moments?
Events?
Day events of the year. Yeah, the most significant events of the year.
Yeah.
On the sports calendar. 844-770-3776. It's ESPN Madison Saturday. Jesse Nelson, Adam Mertz live at the grand opening of the Bogey Factory in Verona. Coming up next, I know we want to talk Brewers, Mertzy. I know we want to do it. Best team in the National League. Squaring up against the Baltimore Orioles again this afternoon. Two brawls already this season. Jeff Levering scheduled to appear at 1:30. We're talking baseball starting next. Don't go anywhere. It's ESPN Madison Saturday. Jesse Nelson, Adam Mertz, live at the Bogey Factory. Grand opening in Verona. What a crowd we've got on hand here at the Bogey Factory celebrating its grand opening today. Indoors, outdoors, simulators, food, beverages, bags, picnic tables. Great atmosphere. It's everything you want for Masters Saturday. Come on out, watch the Masters, watch some friends hit some golf balls at the simulator, throw some bags outside. Today is a day in Madison, Wisconsin that you want to be doing something. You know, today's not a day to sit around and just be like, I'm just going to be Ryan in Madison, listen to us while you're at work. Get on out of work, Ryan. Come on over here to the Bogey Factory. Enjoy the chicken sandwich and the beverages and hit some golf balls at the simulator. State-of-the-art technology, everything that you want from your golf experience you can do here at the Bogey Factory. Rain or shine, 12 months of the year. That's always something you want to take advantage of when you live in this area. So cool. We're happy to be bringing you the grand opening here today on this Saturday afternoon.
I love that golf has become a 12-month-a-year sport in the north through simulators.
You know, tell people about these simulators down south, and they're like, what? Why would you do that?
Right.
Like, you don't understand.
Right.
It's great.
Right. I mean, it's fantastic, and they are really, really good. You know, they started out, and it was kind of like, okay, you're kind of hitting a screen, and it's giving you a general assessment of how well you hit it. These things are just laser sharp now,
yes,
and all the sensors that they have, and you really get rewarded or penalized based on your swing. It's and more often than not, I'm being penalized, Jesse. I don't know about you.
Yes, no doubt about it. I can't wait to get over there and give it a test after I haven't swung a club in several months now and see what's going on. Last time I swung a golf club, we were out at an ice golf event at my friend's cabin up north back in January.
Glow-in-the-dark balls?
No, tennis balls, actually.
Oh, tennis balls.
So you hit tennis balls, and you use, like, two clubs, and it's more hockey than it is golf. So it really screws you up then when you get to the simulators a couple months later, and you're like, okay, let's get back at it. You're trying to
Why is
Happy
Jesse
Gilmore
hitting the ball that way?
That's not right. Yeah, so got to get back into the swing of things, pun intended, as yes. we get set here for the start of the golf season. And there's no better place to warm up than at the brand-new Bogey Factory here in Verona. Thank you, Kawhi Leonard. Appreciate that laugh track alongside me here. 844-770-3776 is the way to get into the show. Mertzi, I promised you we were going to talk Brewers today. You got the World Series number two on your power rankings of events you look forward to every year. I don't think the Brewers will be in it. But based on the first 2 weeks of the season, you have to consider that they have a chance to do so, because entering play today in the Major League Baseball National League standings, who's in first place? We've got the LA Dodgers at 10-6. They have a .625 winning percentage. All right, that's not bad. You've got the Atlanta Braves, 8-4, .667 winning percentage. That's not bad. You got the Pittsburgh Pirates, 10-4. That's
shocking.
Who knew that would happen there? 7-14 winning percentage. Why did I mention all those? Because nobody's better than our Milwaukee Brewers. 9-3 on the season to begin it. They are the best team in the National League at what we can consider to be about one game into the football season.
Right.
Which is a good place to be. Like, if the Packers come out and win 48-0 in week one, okay, I'll take that. That's going to make me feel pretty good about the start of the season. And that's what we can say now about the Milwaukee Brewers. This has been an electric start to an unknown season of 2024.
Yeah, and I always think about baseball. I mean, it's obviously 162 games. You got a long ways to go. But I feel like you can get buried in April, and that's what you don't want to do, especially if you're a young team like this that doesn't have any expectations. Get behind that eight ball and just feel like it's going to be an uphill climb all year. Things can go south in a clubhouse, so to get that kind of enthusiasm off the bat, and especially the way they've been getting it done. I saw five straight games now with seven or more runs. That's the most in 13 years that they've
put
together. Guys,
think about some of the offenses they've had the last several
years. Yeah, and you're going to look down that up and down that roster if you haven't been following the Brewers closely. You're not going to recognize some of these names. You have to get the program for these guys this year. But they're young, they're exciting, they're active on the base pass, and they've been slugging the ball around. It's pretty fun to see.
What's actually been most impressive to me, so first of all, I love the identity that this team seems to be taking on, and I think it's of manager Pat Murphy, who is meeting with the media right now before this afternoon's game, first pitch at 3 o'clock. Jeff Levering.
Who is that old manager?
I forget him. I forget his name.
Yeah.
Craig something. Jeff Levering, Brewers Radio Network, Bally Sports Wisconsin, going to join us at 1:30 coming up to talk more Brewers from Baltimore ahead of Brewers Orioles this afternoon, and Corbin Burns on the mound tomorrow at Camden Yards for a revenge game. Going to be so much fun. But I love the identity that this team's taking on of Pat Murphy. Two fights already, one with the Mets, one with the Orioles. They just feel like they have a chip on their shoulder this year. Like all the fans cheering on the team in Wisconsin after what happened this offseason. Players leaving. Craig Counsell leaving for the arch rival to take the money and say he still was, I don't understand why everyone's so mad at me. This team seems edgy. And I love a team that's edgy. And when you want to find fun storylines for a baseball season to follow every night, week in, week out, finding a different like battle, a different like we talk about players making their own momentum and talking like Michael Jordan comes up with all these ideas of like what he needs to do to motivate himself.
Who's slighting me today?
That's what it feels like this team is doing every series. Okay, who on the Orioles? Oh, this McCann guy, the catcher. We got to take that guy out. He's showing up, Willie. We can't be doing that. Like, I love it. I love how they're playing. I love the energy that they're bringing. And even though they're 9-3, the game that's been most impressive to me was the one that they were trailing 8-0 to the Reds. And they almost came back and won the game. They got within one run late in that game.
Yeah.
That was so impressive to me because it shows that there's no quit in this team. And even if times do get tough at some stretch, which it will, it's baseball.
Yep.
When times do get tough, I feel like they have the ability to bounce out of it because they're young and they don't know better. And because they've got the leadership in place that's going to say, everybody's saying you can't do this. Prove it. Prove them all wrong. And I love that. There's no better motivator.
Yeah, they're in a really good spot that way. And you think about some of the young talent they have and Jackson Chourio. I'm really eager to get Jeff Levering's thoughts on seeing him in person this first month of the season. Guy that you can really hang your hat on. I thought that was, everyone can speculate about how odd that contract was of giving him the money before he's shown up in a major league game and paying a lot of money for not much more than you're going to get through arbitration and whatnot. But they made a statement there about how they want to build around this guy and build around an identity of a young and scrappy team. And to your point, Rhys Hoskins setting the tone on day one.
Day
with this
one.
Wah, wah.
Day
the
one.
The wah, wah clip is the yes. best. Everyone was just dying over this, and I love that mentality. You need that in baseball. That's kind of old school.
And I love that it's the veteran players who are doing it. Willie yeah. Adames, yeah. Rhys Hoskins are leading the way. Pat Murphy is a veteran coach, now manager.
Like, right.
I love that these are the guys setting the tone, and it's going to be trickled down to the younger players who are on their first big league roster or getting their first big opportunities. I love it. It does, we were talking about this last night with some friends, that it reminds you a little bit of the Packers early in the year. But a better start, where the uncertainty, you didn't yeah. know what this was going to be all year for the Brewers. It could have been bad. And it still might, there will be a stretch where they don't play good baseball. There's no doubt about
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
And they might not be a playoff team. They might not be a World Series contender, but you can't look at a 9-3 start and say that's nothing anymore. That's five series in a row now to start right. the year with a win last night and hopefully one today, that they're proving they can compete with some of the big dogs in baseball so far.
It's fun.
I love it.
It's exciting. I do wonder, you know, over time, because I think, as we talked about the grind of the season, and can their starting pitching hold up?
Yeah.
Big question mark, having Woodruff out and Burns gone at this point. D.L. Hall is taking the mound today for your guy that you got back in that trade with the Orioles. See how he's going to do for you. So there's a lot of there's interest and there's excitement, and that's all you can ask for in late April.
Jeff Levering of the Brewers Radio Network and Valley Sports Wisconsin scheduled to appear coming up about 15 minutes from right now, live from Camden Yards, where the Brewers and Orioles were square off this afternoon in the second of their three-game weekend series. Coming up next, our producer Alex Gravad, who is not out with us at the Bogey Factory in Verona. He's at the Everlight Solar Studio downtown. He is going to lead us in a fun exercise. President Alex G.
Yeah.
Will deliver the State of the League's address for us to react to. Cannot wait to experience this. It's Alex G. leading the way. The State of the League's next on ESPN Madison Saturday. ESPN Madison Saturday at the Bogey Factory. Grand opening celebration in Verona. Jesse Nelson, Adam Mertz with you till 2 o'clock this afternoon. And wow, the crowd just continues to roll in here at the Bogey Factory. This is amazing. They are packing this place in for its grand opening here on this beautiful Saturday afternoon. Masters Saturday, Brewers game coming up at 3 o'clock. You get to have it all on the TVs while you're playing on the golf simulator, state-of-the-art technology. And even if you're not golfing, if you're like a lot of the people who are just hanging out. They're sitting at the tables, enjoying some beverages. I think our food is going to be on its way pretty soon, Murty. I'm very excited about that. Coming over here, I think it's going to be on its way. So excited. It's just a great atmosphere. They've got the garage doors opened up, so the sun is beaming in. The wind is coming in, keeping everybody nice and cool. This is amazing.
Cool place. And you can't beat the day, the timing, obviously intended. The Masters weekend opening up, all this excitement around golf. And one of the things that I like best about Masters is just sort of the signaling of the start of spring.
Yes.
And even from the commercials of the azaleas come out in like February in Wisconsin, you're like, yes, there is hope.
Yep.
There is hope. It's going to be back and it's going to be summer and warm soon.
Look what we've got, Mertzy. The food has been delivered here at our table at the Bogey Factory. Oh, yeah. Chicken sandwich. You got a flatbread there that looks incredible. Oh, my goodness. This looks so good. All right. We're going to enjoy some of this while Alex G, back in the Everlight Solar Studio downtown Madison, he is our producer for today's show, and he's going to lead us right now in the State of the Leagues. G, take it away.
Hello, my friends.
That's how you want to start the address? Okay.
Yeah. Well, you are my friends. I'm coming in hot.
Sure.
So we're trying something out today. I've been pondering, been researching, been doing a little deep diving back in the ESPN Madison Everlight Solar Studios. And we're going to start in the NFL. It is the biggest. It is the best. It's what the people want. And I saw earlier this week that Travis Kelce got his degree from the University of Cincinnati. During his time on stage, he walked across. He pulled out a tall boy beer, poured it all over himself, slammed the half-full can of beer down, and then posed for a picture with the chancellor. His brother is having the time of his life on a bouncy castle obstacle course. And it leads me to think, have they reached the level of just living the fun life of Snoop Dogg? Like, which life would you rather have at this point, Jesse Nelson?
So, Jason and Travis Kelce have reached superstar status. It's because of Taylor Swift, and it's okay that we all acknowledge it's because of Taylor Swift. Because their podcast existed prior to Taylor Swift coming into their lives. Nobody cared about the Kelces. Now everybody cares about the Kelces, and everybody loves the Kelces. They haven't changed. It's just that Travis and Taylor are together. And you know what? I love a good power couple. I love that this has become a side conversation that we get to have in the scope of the National Football League. I love that linemen and tight ends are now becoming some of the faces of the league and have reached a celebrity status previously only reserved for quarterbacks. I love it, and I'm all for it. I would have either of the Kelces' lives. Don't make me choose, because one's over like up in the suite doing his thing. The other one's winning Super Bowl titles, dating a superstar. I would take either of their lives.
Wait, are we supposed to choose between their lives or Snoop's life? Them and Snoop?
Yeah, well, I'm taking Snoop Dogg.
I guess I'd take Travis's life. Travis Kelce's got the titles. He's got the lifestyle right now.
He's got the girl.
Yeah, I'll take Travis's life.
Man, that's hard to beat. He's riding high. He is at the peak. And it could it go up from here? I suppose
I don't know how, but it could.
You know, another Super Bowl title, maybe the ring on the finger, that kind of thing. Not ending up in a song. I think it could get better. But, yeah, exactly. But, I mean, in terms of all-time idols, like, how can you not appreciate Snoop? I mean, just amazing what he has done with
tight.
His life.
Weed is tight.
And, you know, like, and sort of then becoming, like, a, you know, godfather of sports, too, with different football leagues going on and raising his kid up to be a college player and things. I mean, that guy's just amazing to me. And he cuts across all genres. All types of people. Everyone loves Snoop. He's just got the cool attitude, cool chill attitude.
All right, who's next in the state of the leagues, G?
We're going to go to the team, the league about to go to their playoffs, but we're not talking playoffs. We're talking Victor Wembanyama. He became the first player in history to log 1,500 points, 250 blocks, and 100-plus three-pointers made. When was the last time a rookie set any league on fire like Wemby has set the NBA on fire?
When was the last time a rookie set the league? I'm trying to think of the last NFL rookie who achieved that kind of, like Dak Prescott leading the Cowboys to a one seed a few years ago when he was a rookie. I don't know if that had the same kind of electric nature of Wemby, but the Spurs stink. So I don't really care. Like, I don't think he has set the league.
Is it detracting from it?
Yeah, like, I'm a casual NBA fan. Yeah. I'll admit. Like, I watch the Bucks. And I'll watch the occasional national game if it's compelling enough. I haven't watched much Wemby at all this year. And I've seen the highlights on social media. I know he's so good. But the team stinks.
They're 21-60.
So until the Spurs are doing it in the playoffs, which start, what, next week for the play-in tournament? And then the big playoffs start next weekend? Like, until they do it on that stage, I'm not going to be that interested in what Wemby's up to. I'm sorry. Like, the Spurs aren't – he's not doing it for the Lakers who stink. He's not doing it for the Knicks or the Bulls who stink. Like, he's doing it for the Spurs, and the Spurs are irrelevant unless they're competing for titles.
My mind went to, and maybe this validates it now, it's like, because I had the same caveat with this guy. It's like Mike Trout when he came in with the Angels, and
no one
paid attention to that team because they stunk. But he was the guy who drew a lot of focus about how good he was and how mature he was so early.
Yeah, Wemby's great. But I'm just totally unimpressed with what the Spurs are right now. And until they're more relevant nationally, Wemby's great. I'll watch the highlights as they circulate on social media. That's all.
Who's been better? Like, there's got to have been someone who's burst onto the scene better. But my mind goes to Randy Moss as a rookie.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
And, like, the splash he made for a crazy good Vikings team.
How about Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase a couple of years ago?
Yeah.
Making the Super
Bowl. Yep.
As rookies. Like, that was pretty impressive. That's probably the best one I've got from the last couple of years. Anything else is escaping me at this moment. What else you got, G, for State of the Leagues?
All right, we got time for one last one, but we got to get out early. NHL. The Arizona Coyotes have told players that they will be moving to Utah. Would you be more offended, or would you continue to be a fan if one of the Wisconsin teams moved out of state?
I would be offended.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want my team moving, and I'm not going to cheer for that team. That, like, Oklahoma City or Seattle Sonics fans who cheered for the team when they moved to Oklahoma City, they punted on being your team. Why would you want to cheer for that team? Rams fan, no Rams fan is still a Rams fan if you grew up in St. Louis cheering on that squad. They said, you're not good enough. We're going to the big city. Like, I don't want to have that complex affiliated with my fandom. No way. Also, if you're a player and you move to Phoenix to compete on this team and you're like, great, I'm in Arizona. It's warm all year. I get to be here and party all weekend.
Right.
And now you got to go to Utah? Yuck.
I didn't sign up for this. That's what
you're
saying?
Yeah, get me out of this franchise.
Yeah.
It could be a good move for them long term because maybe they'll have more stability in Utah. But,
could be.
I mean, I've wanted the Coyotes to come to Milwaukee for a long time, and I know that's not going to happen thanks to the Blackhawks. But
yeah, right.
I'm glad they're moving because Arizona did not appreciate
that. No, they did not. You know, even go back to Kevin Gretzky as coach, and the whole, you know, they had a lot of factors in their favor, and they just never kind of bought in. Yeah, I'd say no. I mean, I grew up scarred with Milwaukee Braves fandom, you know, the generation before me and my dad, and that kind of hearing about how their hearts were ripped out by the Braves leaving, and as much as they loved a lot of those players and Hank Aaron and all that, I think that they kind of had to just write them off emotionally because that just hurts too much. Even if you actually really love the players and it was something that was out of your control. Yeah, that's rough. You know, are they going to keep Coyotes? Because, like, Utah Jazz, that was always one of my favorite, like, oxymorons.
That doesn't really add up.
I think Coyotes might stick. But I bet you, I wonder if they'll change it.
Coyotes works
in Utah. I wonder if they'll change it, though.
We'll find out. Yeah. I wonder what names would be applicable if they did change it. We'll brainstorm on that
the
as
Utah
we get ready to talk to our
rock.
Just go with a different genre of music. Yeah. Thanks, G, for the State of the Leagues. Alex Gravatta, our producer back in the Everlight Solar Studios. We are going to step aside because coming up next, we're going to be back to talking Brewers baseball with the voice of the Brewers on 620 WTMJ, the Brewers Radio Network, and Bally Sports Wisconsin from Baltimore and Camden Yards. Jeff Levering joins us next on ESPN Madison Saturday.
It's not unusual to be loved by anyone. It's not unusual to have fun with anyone. When I see you hanging about with anyone.
It's the grand opening of the Bogey Factory in Verona. ESPN Madison Saturday. Jesse Nelson, Adam Mertz with you until 2 o'clock this afternoon. Masters Saturday. Brewers Orioles coming up at 3 o'clock this afternoon. And on the call, whether it's on Bally Sports Wisconsin or on our sister station 620 WTMJ and the Brewers Radio Network, you can hear him on pretty much every game all year long. It's our friend Jeff Levering joining us live from Camden Yards in Baltimore on the call today. Jeff, thank you for taking time to join us this afternoon. How are you out in Baltimore for the 9-3 Milwaukee Brewers?
Oh, I'm doing great, thanks. We got a great vibe going on at the ballpark right now. The Brewers are taking BP. The wind is blowing out towards right, just as it was yesterday. All things pointing to very positive signs for the Brew Crew this year.
That's awesome, and we're going to talk plenty about the Brewers. But what have you and Vinny Rutino been doing before games with these voice? You did Will Ferrell the other day. I saw go on Twitter. I saw the Californians the other. Like what's with the shtick with all this? And what's still to come? How many more of these you got in the arsenal?
Well, that's a great question. I don't have a lot more voices to go to, unfortunately. But, he's been wanting to do, since he's not on Brewers Live, he feels the need to do some sort of Brewers content. So he wanted to do different voices, and we were kind of messing around watching SNL. The Californians came up, and I'm from California, so he thought that was funny. And then day two, we did like Midwest Chicago accents. I think I morphed into different accents between the, my two lines. Yeah, and then what was, oh yeah, we did the low-grade voice modulation as Jacob Sills with Will Ferrell. So that was always a good time.
I'm always good for a good Yooper accent if you want to throw one of those in.
Yeah, there. Hey, Brewers going at it, huh?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, going up north there for two tree times, yeah.
Hey, Jeff, I don't know if there's any updates coming out of Pat's presser here, pregame presser, but I'm wondering where you think Christian Yelich is with his back injury and sort of what you've seen, larger than that, what you've seen from him this year. He looks back to like his 2018-19 form almost.
Yeah, he's been pretty special to start the season, and hopefully this back will clear up shortly. He's not in the lineup today, more than likely not going to be live tomorrow. And then at that point, I think the Brewers are going to make it decision on whether he needs to go on the IL or if he's going to be able to come back to that Padres series. But I think getting yesterday off, the rest of the day yesterday off, and today off, and figure out what's happening tomorrow. I think a positive thing for Christian, he said, listen, it wasn't as bad as it has been in years past when this has happened. That's a very good sign. So hopefully he just needs a couple of days. It's something that he's dealt with over the course of his career, and we know that Yelly is most important when he's on the field. So keeping him on the field is really important, and hopefully he'll be back in there on Monday against San Diego.
Catching up with Jeff Levering, Bally Sports Wisconsin and the Brewers Radio Network in Baltimore here. ESPN Madison Saturday, Jesse Nelson, Adam Mertz. Jeff, I don't know what the average amount of brawls per season is for a baseball team. One a week seems high. What do we make of what the Brewers are up to here with the Mets and now last night in Baltimore?
Well, they are averaging better than one a week at this point. 12 games in, they've had three bench-clearing situations.
Yeah.
So it's very high. And Pat Murphy addressed it in his pregame chat today. That's not what they're trying to do. It did feel like yesterday escalated very quickly. Still, we don't know a lot of the details behind it, what it was, because it wasn't about Willy Adames taking his time around the bases or making stares or anything like that. William Contreras did a two-run homer prior to that. And sometimes people just get a little bit salty when they're getting beat, and maybe that's what it was all about. The Brewers aren't trying to do that. They're just trying to play hard, clean baseball. All things that could have been prevented. It's a fun team to be around, and whether it's the opponents to sit there and look at the lineup and go, well, why is this team just kicking my tail? I don't know who these guys are. I think the Brewers really like that. I think they like being the underdog. The people have kind of put them in this year, and they've really risen to the occasion.
Jeff, can you speak a little bit to the dynamic of that young team and how Pat Murphy is approaching them and his personality as a manager as we're getting to know him a little bit more?
Yeah, I think that Pat, he's just going to be who he is. And no one in his almost 50 years of coaching in this sport is going to take Pat Murphy away from Pat Murphy. I think a lot of it is the personalities on this roster. And Murphy describes those core guys as pillars, the Christian Yelich, Willy Adames, Reese Hoskins, Freddie Peralta, even William Contreras, who has done it for a long time. He is one of those pillars. And those guys kind of police the clubhouse. And the word that we get thrown around a lot is it's a very chill vibe in the clubhouse. Everybody feels like they belong. Nobody feels out of place. You don't have deer in the headlights anywhere. Everybody really enjoys each other's company. And, you know, you talked about the brawls. Those can bring a team together, right? You're all trying to battle for the same kind of thing and get together for a common goal. And whether that's protecting your teammates or going out there and scoring seven or more runs a game for five straight games, this group has really done a good job of coming together with a number of different personalities with the leadership that this team has. It's a good vibe in that clubhouse right now.
Love to hear that. Jeff Levering, voice of the Brewers, Bally Sports Wisconsin, 620 WTMJ, the Brewers Radio Network, joining us on ESPN Madison Saturday, live from the Bogey Factory. Jesse Nelson, Adam Mertz. I was out with some friends last night, Jeff, and one of them made a comparison for the Brewers this year in 2024 to what the Packers were at the start of last year. A ton of unknowns, a bunch of young players, kind of the let's see what we've got situation. I don't know if I love that comp, especially because of the hot start the Brewers are off to compared to what the Packers did, but in all your time covering baseball around the league, college football, is there a team that comes to mind that you think is similar to what these 2024 Brewers are so far?
Well, I haven't seen it in my time in Milwaukee. Last year's team could be like that a little bit, but this team this year is really, really young. The second youngest team on the field in Major League Baseball behind Cleveland. Cleveland's got the youngest group of position players in Major League Baseball, and lo and behold, those two teams have the best records in the sport 10 days in or 2 weeks into the season. They both have the best run differentials in the sport, too. But I can't really compare it to a different group. I mean, every team is different, right? You kind of think about some of these young groups, maybe like an Arizona Diamondbacks from the last couple of years, where you get this young group of kids that come through and sprinkle in a couple of veterans at the same time, and it all comes together. But even this group on the pitching side, it's not as talented as the Diamondbacks group. They don't have the starting innings that they would like to have. They're still trying to figure that out. But Freddie Peralta is throwing the heck out of baseball his first three turns. Colin Ray, D.L. Hall. I mean, these guys are doing great. And even with no Devin Williams, the Brewers are like the Band-Aid so far this year, it feels like, right? They should be sponsored by Ace Bandages because that's what they've done in the first couple of weeks of the season. It's worked out great.
Jeff, you know, you mentioned D.L. Hall. He's obviously going on the mound today, going against his old team. And Jesse and I were talking earlier in the broadcast about the kind of the excitement, or at least in his season excitement, over Colin Burns going tomorrow. Wondering what kind of chatter there's been or what kind of vibe there's been in the clubhouse with the Orioles shuffling their rotation to make sure that matchup happened.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Corbin mentioned it earlier. Just that listen, he's going on his normal rest. He started on Tuesday, five more days, that's Sunday. So it just happened to line up that it's against the Brewers. The Orioles had an off day on Monday. The Brewers didn't. I don't think the Brewers are making much of a big deal out of it. And once the first pitch is thrown tomorrow afternoon, nobody's going to be thinking about, okay, Corbin was on this team last year. Maybe they'll have a better scouting report or what they think he's going to do in a specific situation. But everybody wants to face the best, in my opinion. For D.L. Hall, are there going to be some jitters today? Sure. He's been thinking about it since he knew that he was going to start in Baltimore, a team that he only knew this organization before he got traded to the Brewers for Corbin Burns. So how he's going to fare today, he's thrown the ball well. He's given up a bunch of hits, but they're all singles with the exception of one homer. So I expect D.L. to go out there and have a good game today. It should be a great crowd. The wind's blowing out to try and keep the ball on the ground. He knows this ballpark. He knows its strengths, its weaknesses. And I expect him to exploit that this afternoon.
Love it. Jeff Levering, voice of the Brewers, joining us on ESPN Madison Saturday. Last one, Jeff. So we all want this to be sustainable for the Brewers. 9-3 to start the year, best record in the National League. I think there's a lot of skeptics that it is sustainable. What's the best case you could make for why this is sustainable for the Brewers the rest of this season?
Just keep it rolling. I mean, they're going to go through a rough patch. At some point, this team is going to lose 4, 5, 6, maybe 7 games in a row at one point. You'd like to not see that happen, but it happens to every single team. It's how you come out of those little stretches. Jackson Churio went over 6 yesterday. He's the only guy on the roster who didn't get on base safely against Baltimore. Had a few responses this afternoon. You learn a lot about a team when the chips are down and when you're struggling a little bit. Those things are going to happen. So it's how this team responds. They've got off to a great start. They beat some really good teams. You know, they went in and they handled business against Cincinnati. They handled their business yesterday against Baltimore. I think that it's, I don't know if they're going to score 7 runs a game. This is not the same Atlanta Braves offense that they're running out there every day that averages 7 runs a game. So you ride the wave like you can. They have a number of ways that they can win baseball games, pitching, defense, scoring runs in different ways. So in my mind, avoiding those long losing streaks is key for this season, but how you respond is really going to be critical for this season.
Jeff Levering, voice of the Brewers, and also does a bunch of voices on Twitter and social media ahead of games with Vinny Rotino, joining us on ESPN Madison. Jeff, thanks so much. You know, Wildy and Tausch tell me all the time. I don't know how many strengths they think I have when I produce their show, but voices is probably one of them. If you need any suggestions, I got a bank I can throw at you if you need them.
I can't wait. I appreciate that. Thank you. Keep working on your bowling play-by-play, all right, Jesse?
Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate that. We'll get that for you coming up at another time when you join the big show on the weekdays. Appreciate you, Jeff. Thanks, Jeff.
I love it. Take care, guys.
Awesome. Jeff Levering, voice of the Brewers, Bally Sports Wisconsin, 620 WTMJ, the Brewers Radio Network, joining us here on ESPN Madison Saturday. Jesse Nelson, Adam Mertz at the Bogey Factory in Verona. I love what Levering was saying there at the end about how sustainable this is, because that goes back to what we had talked about a little earlier, Mertzy, that resilience that the Brewers showed going down 8-0 in Cincinnati and coming back and almost winning the game. The fact that they're so young that they can just keep the good times rolling. And even though they're going to have, you know, a struggle that will ultimately no doubt happen at some point here early in the season,
they should be able to bounce back from that because that's the characteristic of their manager. That's the characteristic of the veteran leadership. And it all trickles down when you talk about sound structure for an organization. The Brewers have developed that over the last few years, even with all the changes they've experienced.
Yeah, and when you're a team like that and you're playing with nothing to lose, I think that helps out also. It's not like the sometimes you get yourself into the end of a window of opportunity with a roster and you're worried about, like, we got to make this happen this year. It's not going to happen. These guys are all optimism, all looking forward, and I think that helps you a lot, play a lot looser. I love the fact that they are running all over the base pass, too, and taking advantage of some of that youth and athleticism. I know it goes against a little bit of the, you know, the sabermetricians in terms of your running yourself out of innings, but I like it in terms of setting a tone. I think it matches the way that they are carrying themselves in these games.
I hope they get the win today so they can say they got another series win, and then tomorrow it's all
gravy.
About Corbin
House
Burns.
Money, man.
Oh, yeah, can't wait to see. Thanks to Jeff Levering for joining us here this afternoon. ESPN Madison Saturday at the Bogey Factory in Verona. We'll take a check a few of your texts rolling in on the text line and wrap up what's in store for the remainder of a beautiful weekend in the greater Madison area. That's coming up next. It's ESPN Madison Saturday. Jesse Nelson, Adam Mertz at the Bogey Factory in Verona.
I'm still standing better than I ever did. Looking like a true survivor. Feeling like a little kid.
All right, so it's ESPN Madison Saturday at the Bogey Factory grand opening in Verona. Just the state of affairs here right now. Jesse Nelson, Adam Mertz, producer Alex Gravatt back in the Everlight Solar Studio. Thanks to Jeff Levering for joining us. That was awesome. If you missed any of the conversation, it'll be available on Wisconsin On Demand and wherever you get your podcasts. There is 9% left on my computer battery, and I'm hoping it lasts on the video stream until the conclusion of the show. If we lose the video stream for about a minute left, I apologize. I don't have anywhere to plug that in. Sorry about it on anyone watching on YouTube and on our social media platforms. I also, on my way over here, Mertzy, I had my tire inflation light come on.
Uh-oh.
How urgent do you think that is? Because that's come on several times for me, and it's like, it's not urgent unless it's like blinking, like, oh, you got something bad happening. But otherwise, it's like, all you got to do is just at some point go over and put a little extra air in the tire.
Unless you walk out today and you find it's totally deflated.
That would be bad,
that
right?
That would be bad.
But
otherwise, yeah.
What's your philosophy on, like, gas when you've got, like, 30 miles to empty and the light comes on, or the tire inflation light? Like, are you got to take care of that right away, going to lose sleep over it if it's not okay, or are you like me where you kind of let it ride a little bit and live dangerously?
Definitely tire inflation, I'll live dangerously. Uh-huh. The gas, I've seen people get burned a couple of times. It hasn't happened to me, but yeah. I'm a little nervous. I get a little nervous about that, and my wife always has it on, like, under 50 miles when I get into her car.
Alex G., you seem like someone who likes to live dangerously.
Actually, no. However, something did climb into my car's, like, HVAC system and died, and so my car reeks, and I have let that ride for a little bit.
What?
Car is safe. It just is smelly.
How do you know that something was in your car that it climbed in there, but you didn't get it out of there?
You know that smell. It's not.
Is it a skunk or a squirrel or like?
Well, I imagine some mice or something.
Yeah. How are your wires? Did anything go out?
Everything seems to be fine. Everything seems
like, is this still an ongoing thing? Have you addressed this yet?
I took a shirt. I went to the gym for a few minutes today, and my shirt had been in my car overnight, and the shirt is, it smells bad. It's really not good.
Smells like a dead mouse.
Yeah, actually. It smells very much what I assume a dead mouse smells like. Now, it smelled like chicken for a while, so I thought, like, maybe I had friends who were in the back seat. Some chicken.
Uh-huh. My chicken sandwich here from the Bogey Factory climbed into your car and decided to hang out overnight. Yeah.
It's not good.
Cheap. Good luck to you on whatever's going on there.
Might be a detailing job in your future.
Something is in your future. There's no doubt about that. I love it here at the Bogey Factory. Grand opening today here in Verona. This has been an amazing experience getting to see this brand new state-of-the-art indoor golf simulator setup. 5 simulators for you to choose from. Great atmosphere, great room for your group to set up and just experience it all among yourselves. You've got the bar here loaded up with people. They got the indoor-outdoor setup, so a beautiful sunny day. People sitting outside on under the picnic tables, under the umbrellas, enjoying the sunshine and enjoying all that we have to offer here in downtown Verona.
Don't forget the bunker in back. I'm intrigued by that, the little private room up
there.
Yeah,
the little VIP party bunker. Mertzi's going to try and sneak his way in there at some point. Like, I snuck in to go say hi to Mark Murphy at Buck and Honey's yesterday.
It worked for you.
For the Packers tailgate tour VIP thing. Yeah, that was fun. I surprised Brian Bulaga. Brian Bulaga has been appearing on Wilde and Tausch for a year.
Yeah.
I'd never met him in person. And I walked up to him. First thing I said was, hey, you're signing that helmet, Iowa sucks. And I don't think that was a very nice intro line, but it's kind of our thing that we go back and forth on Iowa football not being very good. I don't think he knew it was me, though, when I said it to him.
Yeah.
And I think he was pretty taken aback by it. And then he was like, oh, it's just this loser who produces Wilde and Tausch. But thanks to everybody at the Bogey Factory. We're going to hang out here for a bit after the show and enjoy all it has to offer. Thanks to Jeff Levering for joining us. Thanks to you, Adam Mertz, for making the trip over
great
here
to be
on
here,
Saturday
Jesse.
Afternoon. Thanks to producer Alex G. back in the Everlight Solar Studio with a dead mouse in his car. Good luck to you. My name's Jesse Nelson. This has been ESPN Madison Saturday, live at the brand new Bogey Factory in Verona. Have a great weekend, Madison.